The Five Leadership Questions podcast is brought to you by Ministry Grid, an online video-based training resource for all the leaders and volunteers at your church. To learn more and to get a two-week free trial, visit ministrygrid.com/howitworks. That's ministrygrid.com/howitworks. Now, enjoy the podcast. Hey, welcome to the Five Leadership Questions podcast. I am your host, Barnabas Piper. I am solo for this intro this morning because we are doing the same thing we did last Friday, and that is re-releasing an older episode. So going back to 2015 to one of the first ones we recorded, and you will hear from Todd Adkins and Daniel M. and myself talking about using assessments and profiles to help build a team. So the DISC test, the StrengthsFinder test, Myers-Briggs, Enneagram, some of those, and how to use them in conjunction with interviews, and gauging those against people's soft skills, all of that, and how to help hire and build a team. Todd and Daniel are both pretty much experts at this. I'm mostly just the one asking the questions. So this got really good feedback when we released it the first time. Since it's been a while, we thought it would be a good one to re-release, maybe refresh your memory, or introduce it to you for the first time. The reason we're doing some of these older episodes the last couple weeks is because of our pipeline conference that we hosted in Nashville last week. If you missed it, you missed a really fantastic day hearing from some top speakers on this concept of building a leadership pipeline in a church. We had about 1,000 people in town for it, got really, really good responses and reviews. But we also wanted to be able to share it with you. So if you go to lifeway.com/pipeline, you can actually purchase the entire day's worth of videos at one flat, affordable price. And so you'll be able to hear from Paul Tripp and Tom Rayner, Eric Geiger, Tripp Lee, Carrie Newhoff, Jenny Catron, Kevin Peck, Mac Lake, Will Mancini, and then Q&As hosted by Todd, myself, Brad Lominick, and Daniel M. with these speakers. So all of that is one video package. So while it's not as cool as having been at the conference, you can get all of that content. You can share it with a leadership team. You can learn from it yourself. So again, go to lifeway.com/pipeline. To access those videos, to purchase those. We also want to thank our sponsor, Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you go to sebts.edu/5LQ, you can see a special landing page that they've set up just for our listeners to help introduce what they offer. So Southeastern is located in Wake Forest, North Carolina. It's a beautiful campus. But of course, most of you don't live anywhere near there and maybe aren't willing or able to relocate for training, for education purposes. But that's okay because they offer a whole variety of online education. So a series of master's degrees, they offer doctoral programs. They even have an undergrad school on campus there as well. And then they have partnered with us through Ministry Grid, our online video training platform, which you heard about in that opening bumper, to offer what we call MOOCs, Massive Open Online Courses. So that means some of their key courses taught by their professors are entirely free on Ministry Grid. Now, if you take those, you obviously don't get credit, but you get to learn, you get to train, you get to be developed by guys like Tony Morita or Bruce Ashford or others. So you can learn more, sebts.edu/5LQ. Go explore there. If you decide to apply, be sure to use the code 5LQ and you will actually get a discount on your application. So again, sebts.edu/5LQ. Thank you to Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary for sponsoring the podcast. Now, here's our conversation about using profiles and assessments to help build a team. Welcome to the Five Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Barnabas Piper. I'm here with my co-host, Todd Adkins, who's the Director of Leadership at Lifeway Christian Resources, and Daniel M., who is our Church Multiplication Specialist. So we all work in the leadership development area at Lifeway. Today, we are going to be asking five leadership questions about personality assessments, gifting assessments, work style assessments, essentially profiling employees and how to use that to build a team. So is it good? Is it bad? How to do it? Is there a right way to do it? Those kinds of things. So
yes,
Daniel, tell us a little bit. I know that you have some sort of official certification in profiling other humans.
Yeah, I mean, when you use the term profiling, it sounds a little bit negative to me.
Well, that was intentional. So use your term because you're not a negative person.
I like developing. I'm certified with Gallup as a strengths performance coach, or, you know.
So that'd be like StrengthsFinder and the various spinoffs.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Todd is a diehard disciple of various different assessments, which is also a better word than profiling.
I'll go with people profiling.
Using those, especially during the hiring process to put the pieces together to build a team. Getting hired by Todd is going through a battery of tests along with the interview process.
There's a little dark arts involved.
We can get into that. Let's just start real high level. Some people are going to be really familiar with this. Some people not so much. So let's just start. Question one, what kind of assessments are available? So by name, and then what do they do? Like what do they emphasize?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously there's the StrengthsFinder, which is neat because it focuses on, instead of focusing on remedial, like, you know, in terms of what are you weak at, how do mm-hmm. you make yourself better around it? The whole idea with strengths is to say, okay, what if your starting point was actually what are the things that you are most naturally talented in, and to focus on developing those. So the idea with StrengthsFinder, it could be used for hiring, but the real thing is it's developmental oriented. So that's my favorite.
And we just had a conversation about that, 2 days ago or 3 days ago, yeah. Daniel, and I haven't taken that one in several years. I looked back at my results on it and I was pretty sure that they've changed. I asked you kind of, what should I do? You mentioned strengths-based leadership, which is the exact same evaluation, but it focuses on using those strengths in a leadership context, not just an employment or a sort of a life work context.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for leaders, there's strengths-based leadership. The mass market one is StrengthsFinder 2.0. For educators, there's StrengthsQuest. For faith leaders, there's Living Your Strengths. There's a new one called kind of entrepreneurial leadership mm-hmm. strengths as well. But I mean, pretty much other than the entrepreneurial one, most of them, they're all pretty much using the same assessment.
Gotcha. Todd?
I think people's biggest complaint about profiling anyway is that you're putting people in a box. Mm-hmm. I don't actually do that. I put you in a triangle. what I use before I'm hiring anyone, or if I'm going to be in a team situation with anyone, typically, I'll ask them if they've taken a Myers-Briggs. I'll ask them if they've taken StrengthsFinder. And then the last one is not quite as normal as those, and that's emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm.
I think I took that one.
Emotional intelligence, you took it.
Not for you.
You had to.
No, I didn't. I probably shouldn't have admitted to that.
Well, he was probably evaluating your emotional intelligence.
Folks, yeah. If I'm not here next podcast, so it's because Todd fired me for not taking that.
And Daniel knows this because he kind of speaks the same language I do. One of my favorite things to do is tell somebody what they are before they know, or to say, oh, you're an ENTJ. And they'll go, how did you know that?
Yeah.
Because you're a psychopath.
I really get into it, obviously. But I think those different types of assessments do different things. Emotional intelligence, in case you're not aware, the whole idea is that your emotional quotient, or EQ, is just as important, if not more important, than your IQ. When you're looking at leadership, when you're looking at how somebody continues to develop and you know, maybe go up the chain of leadership, you may have heard something called the Revenge of the C student. And that is, the valedictorian isn't necessarily the president and CEO of the company.
Yeah, the world is run by C students. Another way you've heard it.
It is, and so it's really a quadrant. You know how I love quadrants, but it's self awareness and social awareness, self management, social management, and how you score in those categories. So it's really knowing yourself mm-hmm. and actually, you know, operating off of that, and then. Also, the social element, how you are in an organization, knowing the temperature of the organization, knowing the informal power structures as well as the formal power structures, because in every organization, there's both. There's formal and informal authority.
So in short, it's knowing who you are and how you relate to other people. So how you are perceived when you relate to other people is like, that is the short definition of emotional intelligence.
And then personality wise, the two most popular are probably the DISC profile and the Myers-Briggs. DISC profile is helpful for teams, especially to go through. It's a lot easier to understand than a Myers-Briggs because it really focuses more on behavioral tendencies. Myers-Briggs, you can really get down into who a person is a little bit deeper. because the way the test is constructed, it's designed to help you from answering the way that you want to be perceived. Whereas DISC assessment is, it really is a really basic quadrant, and they're presenting you with opposites. So I like to be the guy in the corner of the room, or no, I like to be the guy in the middle of the room in the party. You know, it really focuses on those two extremes. And so, you know, you could kind of present mm-hmm. who you want to be rather than who you really are.
Well, we've already started answering our second question, so okay. I'm just going to go ahead and ask it, and then we can just continue the conversation. And that, so Todd, you jumped right into this, which is, which assessments do you use and why do you use them? You specifically mentioned Myers-Briggs, was it StrengthsFinder and emotional intelligence yep. in the hiring process. Daniel, you haven't had a chance to answer that. If you were building a team looking to hire somebody, you obviously mentioned StrengthsFinder. What else would you go to?
Yeah, I mean, just really quickly before that, mm-hmm. Just for the audience, if they're looking up Myers-Briggs or DISC or any of these things afterwards, it's just important to know there are a lot of different versions of yes. DISC.
Yeah.
And they're all using the same core concept of it, but they've just added their own set of categories, a category to it. The thing with Myers-Briggs, there is only one Myers-Briggs,
yes.
but there is something called the Golden, which takes Myers-Briggs and furthers the theory a little bit further. So three out of the four categories are going to be the same on that. The big thing for me, obviously, when I'm hiring a team member, I look at their experience. I look at, you know, whether or not they're going to be that chemistry, that cultural fit as well. And then I look at, yeah, the experience that they bring. When I look at StrengthsFinder, the thing is I don't use Strengths. I don't create a particular Strengths profile for jobs
mm-hmm.
Because the thing with Strengths is anyone with any set of your top five, they can do a job as well as someone who has a different set of top five because the strengths really just look at how you approach your work and the way that you'll get something done. So I remember okay. back when I was being trained, they gave me all 34. And, you know, if George Gallup were still alive, he would be turning in his grave because he went to his grave saying, hey, I don't want anyone to get more than their top five out of their 34 themes. Because the way our culture is, everyone's going to focus on the bottom five instead of your top five. Well, now that he's dead and a few years later, you know.
And if you're willing to pay for it.
If you're willing to pay for it, you can get all 34. But when I was being trained, one of the exercises we did was I had to take my bottom five and actually process through how that person would do my current job.
Interesting.
And that person, in my opinion, actually probably would have done a better job. And that's why I'm not a youth buster.
I was going to say, and that's why you move positions.
Yeah.
Well, and you mentioned sort of the, in terms of why you use them, it's a misuse to say you need one of these five things in StrengthsFinder or you need this profile to do this job. So for example, I was hired at a job previously and they did the DISC profile and I came out high D, high I, which I believe stands for dominance and influence. If I get my, is that right?
Yeah, basically you are aggressive and task oriented first. And right after that, you're aggressive and people oriented. Yeah.
And so they told the guy, that was through the human resources department, they told the guy who was interviewing me, you shouldn't hire him because that job requires this kind of profile. When in fact, the job didn't have anything to do with the profile. No. And it had to do with what kind of people they were trying to bring in to create the, you know, the right kind of context for the team.
I would say absolutely. I mean, I would say hire the person, not the position.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking for the absolute best person. Yes, I have the position in mind. Yes, I have a job description. And I'm going to make sure that that person fits with it. But at the same time, I'm looking for the absolute best person to add to my team because odds are 2 years from now, 3 years from now, my team is going to look different than it does now. And I'm looking to do two things. I'm looking for the position, but I'm also looking for the person and how they fit with my team.
Yeah. So, I mean, for example, when I was, you know, so for the DISC, I'm a high C and my second dominant one is I, which means I'm very systems oriented and all that. So when I was brought onto the team, I was brought on to figure out how Lifeway is going to resource church planters, multi-site churches, churches that are wanting to multiply. It's all at newchurches.com. But the way that I approached it was if someone, let's say, with a high D was hired, you know, they would probably approach it, you know, by going out, ask, you know, if they were like a high DI, you mm-hmm. know, they would probably go out, ask, you know, they would approach their work that way. Whereas for me, whereas because I was a high C and an I approach it very much to say, okay, what systems are there? What I did this huge research, a lot of research on that.
Without knowing your DISC profile, I saw that really quickly. You were drawing systems on the large whiteboard in your office.
Yeah.
So real quick, just to wrap up that question, if you could both give your top three, Todd did already, but even just name the tests so that if somebody wanted to go look them up and explore them, top three that you would use in a hiring process. Daniel, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, I would use the StrengthsFinder,
okay.
An emotional intelligence one, and I'd use, I'm not the biggest fan of Myers-Briggs, but I use the golden version of it.
Okay, and So for StrengthsFinder and emotional intelligence, those can be found, I mean, if you Google that, you'll find a bunch of options.
Emotional intelligence, you're going to get a bunch of options.
Yeah, I mean, read Daniel Goleman's.
That's Emotional Intelligence 2.0? Is that the book?
There's a QuickBook that's probably the easiest for, if you're just kind of getting into it. Mm-hmm. I would say the QuickBook, but as Daniel was saying,
Goleman's Primal Leadership.
Okay.
I
mean, it's majestic.
Okay. Goleman's Primal Leadership.
I mean, it's a solid book. You got to read it if you're a leader.
It's majestic.
Yeah.
I haven't heard the word majestic on the podcast before, so that's 2 points to you. All right, and so you mentioned. Go ahead with the three that you would throw out. Was it the same three?
The exact same three.
All right. Great. Well, and again, some of this has already come up. But let's transition from talking about the actual tests to, as you are building a team, what are you looking for in the results of these tests? So you have five candidates for a job. You give them all the same battery of assessments. What do you want to see? I guess the question is, how do you blend job requirements, team culture fit, and assessment results?
Well, I find it so dynamic in the sense that you're not in a sterile environment saying, okay, this is the job description. These are the candidates.
Yeah, you're not hiring a robot.
Yeah, so that's why, you know, you as a leader, you need to be self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you're developing and hiring a team, you need to first and foremost know what type of leader you are so that you can find others who can complement yourself. So for me personally, I mean, when I look at all the members that I've hired in the past in the church world, it's been people who would be high achievers, people who would have a high sense of responsibility, because I didn't want to necessarily have to micromanage them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in the one sense, you guide them, you orient them into the new job.
You wanted to be able to point them in a direction, give them a sense of parameters and say, go.
Completely.
Yeah. Todd?
I'm trying to form a team. So, I mean, what's probably funny would be to some people, to HR, it would be probably a nightmare. But as I'm talking to Daniel about him coming in, this is after I'd already decided he was the one. I told him, I need somebody like you on my team. This is the shift. This is the transition that we're making. We're moving from being focused on one.
And that's when he asked you for $10,000 more dollars per year.
I wish I would have.
You're lost.
That was Canadian.
Yeah.
We imported Daniel from Canada. It would be, and now I've already thrown myself off.
You told him that we needed somebody like him on the team.
I said, we need somebody like you because we're making a transition in our team from being focused on one massive undertaking, which was developing Ministry Grid, an online learning management system that was built from the ground up for the church, to being broadening our influence in the leadership space, establishing some thought leadership, and putting an underlying philosophy behind what we do, leadership pipeline, and all those different elements that are coming into play, as well as just his personality type, really, I think complements our team and who we are. So was really excited to bring him in. What I'm looking for in the results is how is this person going to fit with my team? Of course, I'm responsible to also make sure that they fit with our team culture, with the dynamic that's there, that there's not going to be any friction. If there is, I need to understand the likelihood of what that friction will be. So one of the great things about giving someone a profile is understanding how they're going to approach conflict, understanding how they're going to approach change, because Daniel is ready for change.
Yeah, and that's where
some other people on our team are not ready for change. They want the bullet point list right. of this is where we're going. This is how I fit in. I want to
maybe something like adaptability on StrengthsFinder would play to that in a sense. Yeah.
Yes, but you know when he says and knowing how an I is going to approach conflict. So an I is probably going to make excuses and shift the blame, whereas a D is going to have the
facts in place. You're talking on the DISC profile.
I'm talking on the DISC profile.
Okay, because I was thinking I in terms of Myers-Briggs, and it wasn't following.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. On the DISC profile, an I. And then if you look at how a D is going to handle that, they are going to basically unload all the shots.
They've got since I'm high shots, D, high I, nothing is ever my fault, and I will kill you because it's yours.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and that's why it's important to have multiple assessments when you right. do use them because, yeah. you know, the StrengthsFinder will really look at how you approach your work in the sense of how you're getting things done. But, I mean, the emotional intelligence is going to be, and Myers-Briggs are definitely going to be more the dynamic.
Absolutely. So a D with really high emotional intelligence is not going to pull out the pistol and unload it.
Yeah.
They're going to be much more.
They might behind closed doors, but not.
They might.
Like,
or if they're pressed to a certain point.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Snap.
It might snap.
That's what happens when you put me on the phone with Comcast.
You know, the other thing is culture and your ethnicity as well. That plays into this. So then if you're looking at developing a multi-ethnic team as well, mm-hmm. you need to understand how different cultures are going to respond to conflict. Well, conflict is definitely one of those big topics,
yeah.
right? Or even authority. So being Korean, Koreans are influenced, East Asians are influenced very much by Confucius and that kind of, that whole mentality of hierarchy, of systems. So, I mean, the idea with that is if someone in authority, like I'm going to respond to someone in authority differently than if someone were African-American or white or Hispanic. It really depends on how naturalized an individual is as well,
right.
right? So, I mean, my parents immigrated in the 70s. I grew up my entire life in Canada. So I'm going to
be apologize
different.
For everything.
Yeah, oh, sorry. Completely.
Sorry.
Completely.
Sorry.
And then I have this whole note. There's this whole notion of saving face, right? So the neat thing, the interesting thing about me, and I don't know if I should be saying this in front of Todd, but the interesting thing about me is I will, because of my Korean-ness, I will always respect those in authority and I will always of the utmost present myself in a respectful manner and, you know, adhere or, you know, really follow what they're saying.
You have tells.
Yeah. However, because of the whole saving face thing, if I disagree with someone in authority, I'm not necessarily going to say it to their face that I disagree with them. Right. I'll try to maybe convince them. And that's where my I and my C and DISC come in. I'll try to convince them subtly mm-hmm. that maybe my way is better than theirs, but I'm never going to say, no, you're wrong. This is why.
Yeah.
So it's complex.
So another thing that profiling really helps do, and I would say this is important to do as well, is to look at nonverbals and think about nonverbals and to really understand your team and their nonverbals because they may not say when they really disagree and you may need to pull that out of them. So if you know, if you've already made your mind up and they disagree, then you just let it pass. Mm-hmm. But if you haven't made your mind up and you notice they're disagreeing but not saying anything, that's where you ask them the question.
Yeah, because the body won't lie, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, when you talk to someone.
I was about to say, especially the hips part.
Right? So, I mean, it's for example, are they breathing faster, right? Or is their red, or is their face getting red, or are they getting a little fidgety or scratching their head?
Scowling. You
know, yeah, I mean, all these things
that's
are
me
subtle.
When I don't speak up, which is rare. Yeah, those think this has been really helpful in terms of putting some flesh on letters, you know, or labels. So next question, our fourth question, we touched on this a little bit, but I'm thinking more in terms of take hiring process from accepting applications to offering a job. Where does assessment, profiling, whatever we're calling it, where does that slot in? You know, do you want, you know, so you've got application, resume, somewhere in there you have interviews, somewhere in there you have assessment, somewhere in there you have second interview where you're really going to make your decision. How do you piece all that together?
I'm not looking at that until I've already put them in, you know, my top five or top three.
So that's after, that's probably after first round of interviews.
Oh yeah. That's after I've, you know, tossed a bunch of resumes aside and then I've decided to call these people. That is often even after I've already, looked at some of their, references. Sometimes I do it before, but yeah, what it does is it helps for me. It helps give me a flag because there's one thing to interview a person. It's another after you have this kind of a battery of assessment. So I don't want it to form my opinion of someone. I want it to inform my opinion of someone. And, you know, it might raise a flag of contradiction. So I need to understand, well, are they just saying this, that they're good at this, or this is something they like, or that something that is a strength of theirs? Because I have to uncover that. It may be that they're a high I that's really good with detail. It may be that their personality is not great with details, but for some reason they are. And that might be because of an experience that they had or
learning on the job learning.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That formed and shaped them. So I have to figure out those things. That's up to me. What the initial interview and the assessments do is it helps give me a good outline of who they are. And then it's up to me to kind of shade in and color.
That's good. I mean, for me, I will often use it after the first phone interview. So I've tossed resumes. I've said, okay, these are the people that I want to actually call. And I've done research on them on the internet. And I haven't yet called references, but I've done research. I've phoned them up. I've talked. And then there are two things specifically I'm looking for. Because for me, it's a lot about chemistry and their experience and character. But in terms of how do they approach work and how much initiative are they going to take? So after that first interview, what I'll really look for is, are they going to ask me questions?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if they don't ask questions, that's a flag. I don't want to hire them. If they ask bad questions, that too. But if they're asking questions that show that they have initiative, that they've done research, that they're thinking critically, I mean, that's huge for me. And then the other thing I look for is I'll say, okay, hey, I want you to do this assessment and I'm going to see how fast they get it done.
Fast, like, do they take it immediately or like, does it take them 4 hours to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Or 4 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, not in terms of how long it takes to complete the assessment.
But when they get to
it. Yeah, when they do it.
Okay.
Because that's going to show me the urgency, well, how much they want the job.
Yeah.
Their urgency. And even when I process it with them afterwards, and, you know, as mm-hmm. I said, process, I'm really looking at, okay, how can they grasp new material,
right?
And what are they doing to be a self-learner?
So this is not a question that I had written down, but a lot of organizations don't use these in the hiring process. A lot of them do, a lot of them don't, a lot of them misuse it, et cetera. What would you say to an organization who's, you know, they have they're established, they have a staff. Take like a private school. They have a whole bunch of teachers. They have to mm-hmm. work together. It's a weird working environment. It's unique, I should say. And they want to give their team some assessments to see just sort of what do we need to learn about each other. Go. What do they do in that context? This is an off the book question. I did not show you guys this one beforehand.
Well, I would just go with the simple DISC assessment again, because it's behavioral tendencies. It's fun to walk people through DISC. It's extremes. So you can play off of that. But it's really good for team dynamics because it's going to help you address how people handle conflict.
So if there's an unresolvable tension or something that's just consistent, you can look at it and go, there's an explanation.
Absolutely. And the biggest thing for them is it's easy for a normal person to mm-hmm. really grasp, and they can understand the concept quickly.
Yeah.
And they can understand how those things might interplay. That's what I would use.
What about emotional intelligence? A little too complex, or? Because I feel like that one is one that is just, that's human relationships.
Emotional intelligence, you do one-on-one. You do not do emotional intelligence with a group of people.
Right. No. But I guess I was just thinking in terms of benefiting a team. So thinking in a group context, that's not a good one, you're saying.
No, it's a good one if you have someone who does not have emotional intelligence, because they may say, hey. Because
they usually do think they have it.
They usually do. It's a complete blind spot for them. So they may have been they may have been the valedictorian. They may have been successful at taking any test you give them. They've probably checked off all the boxes of the training that they're supposed to have to be a manager. And they may even be really good at their individual contribution. But you're never going to put them in front of it. You're never going to put them out in front of the team as a leader because they do not have emotional intelligence. If you do not reveal this to that poor person, they're going to constantly wonder why. So you owe it to a person like that in particular.
You mean wonder why they haven't been promoted?
Yes.
Or why doesn't anybody like me?
They'll look at the person to their left and right and say, I'm a better, you know, copy editor than this guy. I don't understand why I haven't been, you know, promoted. I've been here for 5 years. I've taken every learning opportunity, every training. I've gone back to school. I've done all this stuff, and you're promoting this guy? You don't ever want to get into that situation.
So the Peter principle, the idea that people get promoted one step beyond their highest level of capability,
yes.
Or so they get promoted to their
level of competency.
Yeah, to their level of incompetency, I guess. So
yes.
That is often because somebody's not acknowledging emotional intelligence. They're only looking at checking the boxes. So that happens when you do not acknowledge the necessity of emotional intelligence.
Yes, and that happens in more of a traditional, almost unionized organization where people are getting paid for hours and not outcomes.
Or tenure rules the day, that kind of thing. All right, let's jump into our last question. I grew up in a church that valued theology, it valued mission, it valued a lot of things, was not heavy on the sort of your structural, organizational. They didn't emphasize that up front. And I know that there were some people in the decision-making there who looked kind of with side eyes at these kinds of evaluations, feeling like you can't just sort of wedge people together based on profiles and things like that. That was sort of the way they viewed it, which I've come to see is that's probably a misunderstanding of the evaluations. So the question is, how do you respond to people who are skeptical of evaluations for whatever reason? Todd, you mentioned putting people in a box. In a ministry context, often it's that doesn't leave any room for the Holy Spirit to guide us.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things. And those are legitimate. I'm not scoffing at the questions, but they do deserve a legitimate response.
Yeah, you know, I love this quote by Sun Tzu Wu. I love saying that. Sun Tzu Wu. That's what I think.
You can say it.
I can say it. I'm Korean, man. Come on. Anyways, black belt in Taekwondo, too. Anyways. Anyway, what I love, and this is, you know, I'm going to butcher what he said in The Art of War, but he said something to the fact of, if you know your enemy, you're going to win half the time. But if you know yourself, you're going to win the other half. I find that people who say, hey, I don't really want to use this in the hiring process or in building teams. The danger with that is everyone has blind spots. And the people who are hiring have blind spots as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not going to use assessments like that to, first of all, reveal the blind spots and strengths in their own self, when they hire, they're either going to hire people who are very much like themselves.
Yes.
Which is not going to be good for the team, or they're going to hire it based on, you know,
job qualifications.
Yeah, or some sort of ideal picture
right.
of what they think, rather than what is best for the team.
Yep.
Right. So I mean the important thing as you look at assessments, even in the church world, for example, I don't think anyone can say that because so many people in the church world say, hey, but what about spiritual gift inventories? Right? So there's whether you use formal spiritual gift inventories, which, I mean, I think that's probably a topic of another day.
That is a topic for another day.
And, you know, personally, instead of using those, I've used StrengthsFinder instead. However, you know, having said that, even people who do use that in the church context, they're still profiling.
Mm-hmm.
They may not be using formal assessments, but they're still profiling based on their biases and their shadow sides.
Right.
What I would say to that person is the way that I would push back on them, because I'm more practical, more pragmatic.
Would you use the word pragmatic?
I would.
At the risk of offending certain people?
Yes, at the risk of offending certain people. Some of the people I went to seminary with would probably put me in that pragmatist category. I think those things can help inform how you interact with people. It comes down to a stewardship issue, really. It's, do you care enough about your ministry? Do you care enough about your organization to make it the most effective that it can be? When I look at Ephesians 4 and I look at what I'm to do as a leader to train the saints for the working of ministry, that if I go back to Ephesians 2 and look at each person as God's workmanship and that he's prepared specific things for them to do. He's wired them in a certain way. He's given them some of the experiences that they've had. He's done all these things to help shape and mold them into who they currently are. It's my job to help steward that next level. So it's my job to say, whoever works for me, when I hired both of you, I said, if you're working for me in 3 years and you've not been promoted or someone hasn't stolen you, then I failed. I failed because I have not developed you to the point where you're at a different level and you should be doing different things. So it really goes back to a stewardship issue and knowing, taking the knowledge that other people have gone through the trouble. I mean, there's a lot of research and work that has been done in these areas. There's a reason why we talk about them. There's a reason why they're commonplace. But it's important to understand them and use them properly. The example that you gave earlier happens far too often where someone takes a profile and they take a person or a position and they line them up and say, that doesn't fit, and they toss it out. They did not allow – they allowed that to have too much weight. They didn't say, okay, I'm going to just allow it to inform my opinion, not – form my opinion.
I think that that breakdown that you just gave, the difference between informing and forming, is probably the difference between finding these immensely helpful and completely useless. Because if you're using it to form an opinion, it's no different than saying, I can't hire you, you have blonde hair. You know, it's just, you're essentially taking a trait that means relatively little at first glance and determining somebody's worth to an organization by it. Whereas if it's informing an interview, a conversation, some interactions, then all of a sudden it's filling in some gaps. And that's that's a really helpful thing.
Yeah. And I mean, the danger is if you just know a little bit about an assessment and you pose yourself as an expert and use it in the hiring process, I mean, that's dangerous because you have so many blind spots.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
that's just enough knowledge to be dangerous.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's why I completely agree with Todd to say, hey, use it to inform rather than form. Now, there are some assessments that are used by HR organizations that are way more money and, you know, a lot more complex and thorough. However, you know, for the normal leader who's saying, I mean, who's building a team, I mean, you don't necessarily have to go that route.
Yeah, you can just spend $10-$15 in assessment instead of thousands.
Exactly.
All right, well, I think that is a good place to wrap up. I hope that conversation was helpful. We did touch on a lot of different things. I hope that for you leaders out there who are considering how to build a team, how to use tools and assessments like this, that was informative. That was this week's episode of the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Again, I'm Barnabas Piper here with Todd Adkins and Daniel M. We appreciate you listening. We would love it if you would jump on iTunes, leave us a rating and review. Thanks so much, and tune in next time.
Thank you for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Remember, you can get a free 2-week trial of Ministry Grid at ministrygrid.com/howitworks. Try it out and see how it can help you develop leaders at your church.